It's episode 564 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. On today's show, I'm going to be breaking down five burning questions that the Texas Rangers must answer, plus the Rangers traded Jose Trevino. All that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick. Here in season four, we are finally in it. This is the week of Major League Baseball actually starting in earnest. Rangers play on Friday. They're going to play in Toronto, and I am so excited for this season. I'm your host, Bryce Paddock. If you're not already, you know, go ahead and follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rangers. Follow me on Twitter at Bryce Paddock and subscribe on YouTube, where we are now over 700 subscribers. And thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. We're going to get into five burning questions the Rangers have to answer and the Jose Trevino trade, plus a few games that happened this weekend. But first, this episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Now, let's get into this weekend's notes. There are a few things that were noteworthy. Not all that many because it is towards the end of spring training. Also, I did say on the last episode when I did my roster projection on Friday, if you want to look at that and how wrong I was on Friday, because immediately the Rangers proved me wrong by trading Jose Trevino. You can go do that and laugh at me in my misery, my hubris, saying that I would get all 28 picks right when I'm probably missing at least five. Now, but this weekend's games, there wasn't that much that was going on, but Owen White pitched two innings and looked really solid in his first A-game action. I believe he hit 99 miles an hour, according to Kennedy Landry of MLB.com, who was there watching him on the ground. He looked absolutely nasty on television. I loved what I saw from him. I hadn't seen a whole lot of him just yet because he has been in the lower minors. But against big leaguers, he and some big leaguers, he was facing some big leaguers, and he made them look just straight up bad. That was really, really encouraging to see from a guy whose stock has been going through the roof in the last 6 months. It's a guy who really, really need to watch out for, and I'm hoping that I can see him in Double-A at some point this season. But yeah, he was absolutely nasty. Longtime friend of the pod, former guest of the pod, Zach Kent, got in his first A-game action, looked pretty solid. Nothing too crazy, worked around a few base runners, a couple of walks and some hits, and you know, he looked solid. He was fine. And I really like seeing him in a big league game against big league hitters, and it was just nice to see him be able to do that. So, Adolis Garcia also got a home run off of a Cy Young winner in Shane Bieber. That was fun. That was a fun little thing that the Rangers were able to beat up a little bit on Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Guardians. Ezekiel Duran, homer off a multi-time All-Star in Brandon Woodruff. That was really cool. He also finished top five in Cy Young voting last year. Not Ezekiel Duran, but Brandon Woodruff. John Gray pitched on Sunday and looked like he's pretty much ready for opening day for the Rangers on Friday, which he's going to start. It's going to be very encouraging. A really encouraging start from him. But also, Spencer Howard looked pretty encouraging, had some really nasty strikeouts. It was not his best outing in spring, but still looked like that different pitcher, not like he looked last year when he was pretty much lost and didn't look like he could go very far into games, pitched 2 2/3 innings and worked around some base hits, threw quite a few pitches, and didn't look like he was completely exhausted by the end, which is an encouraging sign. If he can go 3-4 innings in his first start, that would be really nice. We'll see how long he goes, because remember, he is transitioning from being splitting the difference between being a starter and a multi-inning reliever. Last year with the Phillies, they weren't ready to give him the chance he needed to stick to one and pick one, and the one being a starter. But the Rangers aren't in a position where they're going for it nearly as hard as Philadelphia is, so they got him in the Kyle Gibson trade last year, and his stuff has looked really, really nice in the spring. And I'll talk more about him later on in the episode. But I got to talk about Jose Trevino. I was confused by this at the time, and I'll get into why a little bit more, but Jose Trevino has been traded to the New York Yankees for left-handed pitcher Robbie Alstrom and right-handed pitcher Albert Abreu. Trevino has been with the Rangers for several years. He, I thought, was going to be the opening day backup catcher, and Heim was going to be option, but it's looking like it is not the case anymore. He's been with the Rangers since 2018. He got his first call up there, played three games that season. He's played a few more, played 89 games last year, was Rangers' primary catcher. Just not great offensively, but he had one of the best moments in Rangers history. It was absolutely perfect. One of my favorite games of all time, honestly, among the Rangers. It was just such a special, special moment for him. On Father's Day back in 2018, he had a walk-off hit to cap a three-run comeback against the Rockies and Wade Davis when he was at his peak. And it was a really emotional moment, because not just because it was Father's Day, but it was the first time, the first Father's Day where he had just had a kid. He was a first-time father on Father's Day, and he had just lost his own father as well. So it was just a really emotional moment to give a really just heartbreaking and just beautiful interview with Emily Jones after the game. One of my favorite Rangers moments since I have been following this team. Jose Trevino, wish you nothing but the best. And I said this on Twitter, and I will say it again. If the Rangers trade one more player I like to the Yankees, I'm going to become a supervillain. I don't care that it made sense. It just bothers me on principle. Jose Trevino is there. Joey Gallo is there. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is there. Ronald Guzman is also there, in case you forgot. He might break camp with them and be their opening day first baseman. I'm not exactly sure about that, but he's looked really good in spring training. But I'm glad that Joey has some friends. Isaiah has some friends. And wishing nothing but the best, Jose. Absolutely nothing but the best. But still, if Joey could come back after this year and stop having so many Rangers that I like on the Yankees, that would be super great. But a little bit about the guys who the Rangers acquired. Trevino, it was acquired for Ahlstrom and Abreu. Abreu is a guy who just throws absolute gas. That is what you need to know. He is a reliever. He is going to be in the big league pen. And Heim this year is the reason that Trevino was traded. Heim had an 895 OPS in 19 spring plate appearances. Trevino had a sub 300 on base percentage and a 669 OPS in 17 plate appearances this spring, which was nice, but not quite nice enough for the Texas Rangers. Abreu pitched in the pen the last couple of years, and he averaged 98 miles an hour on his fastball, which is in the 98th percentile of velocity. He was 29th in spin last year because he throws a few more sinkers this year than four-seamers. He kind of made that switch this year. He added a sinker, and it was really, really effective for him, compared to his other pitches. He had a little bit of trouble with getting roughed up. His numbers don't look super great. His slider, he's got a slider that's 87 miles per hour, 65th percentile in spin, so above average spin on that breaker, which you love to see. He's got an 88 mile an hour changeup he uses about a third of the time-ish, about 16% of the time, about as much as he uses his form saver. It's nice. He's got premium gas. The Rangers don't have a lot of guys that have premium gas that are, until a couple of guys come back from injury in Jose Leclerc and Jonathan Hernandez. So, I don't know, should be a nice pen arm. Ahlstrom was a seventh rounder in 2021, drafted out of Oregon. He didn't pitch after getting drafted because he threw 90 innings last year at Oregon. He had a 250 ERA, 92 strikeouts, 26 walks, 4 home runs. Solid. Left-handed starter. Doesn't walk a whole lot of guys. Really doesn't give up a whole lot of home runs against a pretty hot hitting conference in the Pac-12 that he was in last year. Strikes out about as many guys as he has innings pitched and didn't get hit around a whole lot. Solid trade. I think the Rangers got what they needed, but I am a little confused about what this does to the depth. And I'm going to talk about why I'm concerned about the Rangers trading a guy who could not hit at all in major leagues last year and what this says about their confidence in Jonah Heim. But first, this episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting needs and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championship odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues this season. Previews for all the different leagues this season. If you want to make some bets, if you want to wager on how many home runs Marcus Semien is going to hit, I've got the over-under at 29.5. I personally, if I was a betting man, I would take the over on that. I don't think that his 2021 was a fluke, and I don't think his 2019 was a fluke, where he finished top three in MVP voting both of those years and hit more than 30 home runs. I think he's going to do it again for the Rangers this year. And I think the Rangers are really going to be happy with what they got in him. So if you want to go and make your bets, go to betonline.net. BetOnline. It's where the game starts. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. Now, if you're looking for some advice on a second listen, you can listen to Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It is free wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's get into my first burning question. Number one on my burning questions. Can Mitch Garver and Corey Seager stay healthy for an entire season? I lumped Corey Seager into this as well, because if we're talking injury concerns, we kind of have to talk about Corey Seager. Unfortunately, I don't like that we do, but we do, because that's where we are in 2022, year of our Lord, in the Texas Rangers baseball. Now, Mitch Garver is amazing when he's healthy. And that's the big key, is when he's healthy. The Rangers only have two catchers on this major league roster, and there's not a whole lot of depth behind them. Mitch Garver, the most games that he's caught in a season is 75, at least started at catcher. He's gotten 86 games in 2018, but he has an injury history. And a lot of them are freak injuries. It's kind of the same thing for Corey Seager. Corey Seager had Tommy John surgery. He's also broken his arm last year. I believe a bone in his arm, which is why he missed so much time and played in under 100 games last year. Corey Seager has also had just some hamstring issues and some other just random things that pop up. Garver, the thing that concerns me, his recurring injuries, is his back injury. He's missed time for back injuries at some point or another, some point in his back or another, for the last 3 years. He's also missed time by getting hit where the sun don't shine. Well, I guess not where the sun don't shine, but in a very sensitive area by a baseball. He missed time for that. That's not something that happens a lot or is going to be a recurring injury. He had to have surgery, and he wears basically a Kevlar cup was something that I read about, the cup that he is wearing now to protect his family jewels, if you will. He also injured his ankle by Shohei Ohtani sliding into him at home plate, which is not something that happens every day. So again, that's another random thing that made him miss time, but he has missed time. He's missed quite a few games in his entire major league career. He just hasn't been able to stay as healthy as you would want for a guy that's going to be this big a part of the Rangers team. He's only played in more than 100 games once in his career, just games, including DH and first base. That was in 2018, back when he was a 27-year-old. Last year, he played in 68 games, 23 games in 2020, and 93 in the year where he had 31 home runs and won a Silver Slugger. The potential is there, but the Rangers have got to keep him healthy. They got to see about that back. They got to keep him out of compromising situations. And I don't think they're going to DH him that much, because he really hasn't played DH or first base that much in his major league career. I believe he has 18 starts at other positions. Yeah, he has 18 starts at 18 games at DH, 14 at first base, somehow two in left field, and one of those was a start. I don't really know how that happened, but it doesn't seem like a position where he would thrive or something that the Rangers would do. He is not Mike Napoli. They're not going to throw him out there. But the Rangers only have Jonah Heim. They only have Jonah Heim. And while his numbers last year were just really bad for Heim, he played in 82 games. He had 285 plate appearances, had a slash line of 196, 239, and 358. He did have 10 home runs. Two of those were walk-off home runs in back-to-back games right after my baseball soul was crushed when the Rangers traded Joey Gallo. It made me believe, have some hope, and not completely depressed for the entire Rangers season last year, or I guess back half of the season. But Heim didn't really look that bad in his plate appearances. That was the kind of the confusing part. His numbers looked horrendous, but he didn't look overmatched. He didn't look like he was just flailing out there. And he's looked really, really good in spring training. The Rangers have some confidence in him. He hasn't hit very well at many levels in the minor leagues. He's just kind of a fine hitter, a fine backup catcher. But basically, that's your only guy, because when you look at Triple A, there's not a whole lot of depth there. I mean, you have Jack Kruger, you have Mabrys Viloria in Triple A at catcher. You also have Yoel Pozo, who is just not a catcher at this point. Like, I just don't think he's a catcher, and I'm not exactly sure how well his bat will play at the major league level, but I've seen him defensively and it's not great. While Huff, I did have some questions about him, especially last year after not being able to catch for basically the entire season. Like, it was really, really worrisome for him and his development. But some of the scouts that I've talked to and the people that have seen him in spring training say, yep, he's a catcher. That's fine. But his bat, it's just not major league ready. And I think that major league pitchers would absolutely destroy him, and it might destroy his confidence. I think even Triple A seems like the right move, but he's going to have to get a lot of at bats and a lot of catching experience. He still has a little bit of a ways to go to be major league caliber catcher defensively, but his bat still also has a ways to go as well. So it's not like Pozo and Huff are going to be coming in to save the day. So I mean, maybe you get some Matt Watley, who is an absolute offensive zero, but really, really good behind the plate. And if Garver goes down with injury, but this really is betting a whole lot on the health of Garver and a whole lot on Jonah Heim taking some steps. Now, Corey Seager, there's not a whole lot of depth at shortstop behind him, unless you want to play Marcus Semien at shortstop, which I think would be the move if there was a long-term, like month-long injury for Corey Seager. I think you switch Marcus Semien over there to shortstop, and you have one of the other guys filling in every day. Because right now, the backup shortstop is going to be Charlie Culberson, And you really don't want him as your everyday starting shortstop when you are not in the tank anymore, when you are fighting to be third in the division. I think that's what the Rangers are hoping for. They're hoping to be better than the Angels. I think that's about, might be the barometer for this season. So you got to really, really bank on the health of those guys and hope that they can do everything that you're wanting in him, in them, and that they can stay healthy. You know, Garver, I think the plan was to have him catch 80 to 85 games this year. If he can do that, that's great. But you also want his bat in there for another 40. So you want him playing at least 120 games, I think. And, you know, he hasn't hit a whole lot at DH. He hasn't played a whole lot of first base. And Nathaniel Lowe's bat is pretty solid at first base. I don't know how much time you're going to want to take away from your guy who is pretty much your guy for the next 5 years at first base if the Rangers really, really believe in him. But Garver's bat is better. It might be the best bat in this entire lineup, which is really saying something given the two guys in the middle infield. But I think his health has got to be paramount this season. And same can be said for Corey Seager. Now let's look at number two, the number two question the Rangers have to answer in 2022. How good is John Gray? One of the things the Rangers have done really, really well during this rebuild, besides restocking their farm system, drafting pretty well, developing some minor league guys pretty well, is developing some random guys at the major leagues. The best thing that they have done, the most value they have added at the major league level, has been taking these guys who were former top prospects, who are starting pitchers, or in Mike Minor's case, used to be a starting pitcher and was a really, really good bullpen arm, and making them top 10 in the American League in Cy Young voting and making them all-star caliber pitchers, just fixing one or two little things in their delivery or their arsenal or the way they attack hitters, just some little tweak in each of these guys and seeing a little inefficiency that they can make a little bit better and would completely revolutionize who they are. They've done it three times. They've done it with Mike Minor, done it with Lance Lynn. They did it with Kyle Gibson last season. And I thought, you know, the Rangers didn't really do that this offseason. And then I kind of thought back and I'm like, you know what? John Gray is that guy. Even though he's at the top, I didn't think of it because he's at the top of their rotation. He's just their everyday guy. And I think he's going to be pretty solid. That some of the numbers, the projection numbers on John Gray are not super flattering for this year, especially at Baseball Reference. They have him projected for 145 innings. They have him projected for one save. Why would your opening day starter be in the bullpen? That makes absolutely no sense. They also have him projected for a 4.53 ERA and 3.4 walks per nine, which is fine. But the ERA is, I think, a lot higher. They haven't projected to give up 20 home runs this year in 145 innings. That is, I think, maybe a little higher than he's going to do in that amount of innings, especially in a park that is, maybe they're using his Coors Field numbers to project how many home runs he's going to give up in a pretty neutral park. I think that's disingenuous, and I think that's bad evaluation. And I think the sweeper that he added is going to add another dimension to his game. He is going to be the 28th highest pitcher in Major League Baseball for the 2022 season. That puts him right around the likes of Eduardo Rodriguez. He's a little bit higher than him. He's just behind Aaron Nola. He's making exactly $15 million this year. Aaron Nola is making $15.5 million. Just below some of the guys like Clayton Kershaw, who's making $17 million. Miles Michaelis is somehow making more than him, which is kind of crazy. Kikuchi signed for $16 million with Toronto, and he's making a little bit less than Lance McCullers. So he's right around in that kind of area. So that's about the kind of pitcher that the Rangers will expect him to be. They want him to be the workhorse of this staff. He has not been able to go 200 innings yet in his major league career. The most he has thrown is 168 in what was his rookie season back in 2016. But the Rangers are really confident in this guy, and the Rangers are confident they can turn him around and make him into the kind of starter that the Rockies saw when they drafted him third overall back in 2013 out of Oklahoma. The Rangers really believe in this guy, and he's going to be asked to do a whole lot. But the Rangers need to ask, is this guy a guy that can make that jump like Lance Lynn, Mike Minor, and Kyle Gibson? Or is he a guy who's going to be, you know, kind of your number two, and Jack Leiter is eventually going to pass him, which he might. But John Gray, you need to see how solid he is or how aggressive they want to be in the offseason after 2023, because there's a lot of pitching free agents that the Rangers can go get. There's Jacob deGrom, who can opt out. We'll see what happens with that and how injured he is this year. There's also Kyle Gibson, reunite with Kyle Gibson. Chris Sale has an opt-out. Nathan Eovaldi, Sean Manaea, Joe Musgrove, Noah Syndergaard, Mike Clevenger, Chris Bassett, and Wade Miley. All those guys are guys that the Rangers could go get if they don't think that John Gray can be the number one or number two workhorse in this rotation for the 2023 season. Because these guys are older. The guys who they signed, they're older. Mitch Garver is entering, I believe, his age 31 season, if I remember that correctly. Yeah, he's going to be 31. He just turned 31 in January. You've also got a guy in Marcus Semien who is in his age 31 season. You have Corey Seager, who is in his age 28 season. The Rangers don't have time to be patient. This is the year. You get 1 year to figure it out, and then next year, all gung-ho. All pressure is on after 1 year, which is kind of going to be a tough turnaround. But they need to figure out this year, is John Gray the guy that can start game one of a playoff series, or do the Rangers need to go get somebody after this season? Coming up, I'm going to talk about three more questions the Rangers have to answer, including questions about Willie Calhoun, about the rest of this Rangers rotation, and Adolis Garcia. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Have you guys heard about Built Bar? If you haven't, then you probably haven't listened to this podcast very long. It is the best tasting protein bar that is on the market. They're absolutely delicious. They're soft. They're covered in easy to chew. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They've got a bazillion different flavors. They taste like a candy bar, but you know, some of them taste better than a candy bar. They're so good for you. You know, you can go to built.com. You can scroll through the macros chart. You can see that they're high in protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carb. Most of them contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, and it's just blowing it out of the water. And the taste is even better for these Built Bars than a lot of the candy bars, because, you know, Built Bars are absolutely delicious. So go to the website, go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Now we have three more questions for the Rangers. They are burning, absolutely burning on fire. Things will catch fire if the Rangers do not answer these questions in 2022. I don't know. Things will catch fire regardless, but you know, we'll just answer these questions, or we'll pose these questions, because they can't be answered just yet. We're going to answer them, hopefully, have an answer by the end of the season. But question number three, is Willie Calhoun going to figure it out, / can Willie Calhoun stay healthy and not get pelted by baseballs? Can y'all not hit Willie Calhoun, please? I want him to have zero hit by pitches this year. I don't want him to have a single one. Actually, funnily enough, in his career, the most hit by pitches he's had in a season is 3, and that was in 2019. He hasn't had more than 3. He's had one every year except for 2019 and 2021 when he was hit by pitches twice. He had his face broken in 2020, an absolutely horrendous year. Also had hamstring injuries then. He also had some hamstring injuries in 2019 when he had his breakout year. 21 home runs in 83 games, and 848 OPS. That's the kind of Willie Calhoun the Rangers are hoping for. Somehow the Willie Calhoun has so many years left of control. It's absolutely blew my mind that he still had this many years left with the Rangers. But according to SpotTrack, the Rangers have him under contract through 2024. But he's a DH / left fielder. He needs his bat to be better than Brad Miller. He really needs to out-hit Brad Miller. He needs to also hit against lefties, which is something that Brad Miller absolutely cannot do, even though he's under contract for the next 2 years as well. But there's a lot of guys that are coming right behind him that have the same kind of a profile, but you know, a few more years of control and maybe a higher ceiling now. Willie Calhoun had a really, really high ceiling when the Rangers acquired him from the Dodgers for Yu Darvish. But he has just not been able to stay healthy through not really a lot of fault of his own. You get hit in the face, you're going to miss some time. And that's not your fault for getting hit in the face. It's just not. For getting your arm broken by getting hit by a pitch, it's not really your fault. But, you know, it's bad luck for Willie Calhoun the last few years. Every year for the last like 3 years, it's been like, all right, this is make or break time for Willie Calhoun. But this is really make or break time, because the Rangers are about to start contending and they don't have time to fool around with who's going to be their DH. So there's guys like Dustin Harris, Justin Foscue, Trevin Hover, Blaine Crim, Sam Huff, and Aaron Zavala, maybe even Shirton Apostle. All those guys are going to be right there on his butt pushing for that DH spot. Some of those guys are going to be a little closer. Dustin Harris, Foscue, and Crim are a little bit closer than some of the other guys on that list. But the other ones are coming not far behind, and they will be probably in the major leagues, or at least fighting for a major league spot by the time Willie Calhoun is in his final year under contract with the Rangers. So he needs to really establish himself. Number four, burning question the Rangers have to answer this season. Who will establish themselves in the rotation as a complete start, as a starter moving forward? Also, this is like slash, is Spencer Howard a starter? That's the main part of this, but I also want to talk about some of the other guys in this rotation and what the Rangers rotation will look like next year when they're actually starting to contend a little bit more seriously. So Spencer Howard is a guy who the Rangers acquired for Kyle Gibson in that trade. He is the primary piece. He is pretty much the only piece to worry about at this point. He has looked fantastic through spring training. But how good is he? How good can he be? Last year was horrendous for him. He was splitting time between being a starter and a reliever, a multi-inning reliever. He was a reliever in college, and so the transition to starting in the minors was a little bit rough for him. The Phillies were in the very middle of their window. They didn't have time to fool around and figure out if Spencer Howard was a starter. So they traded him for an all-star starting pitcher in Kyle Gibson to kind of chase the Braves for that AL East lead, and they did not end up securing that, and the Braves won the World Series. And the Braves are returning a whole lot of talent this year, so they need Kyle Gibson, who's going to be under contract for them this year, to work out, because they couldn't take time on Spencer Howard. But anyway, Spencer Howard looked really, really solid this year in spring training. I don't know how long he can go in games. He pitched 2 2/3 of an inning in his last outing, looked really, really solid. Scattered a few more hits than you would have liked, but if he's efficient with his pitches and he can get through guys and not allow a whole lot of base runners, then maybe he'll be able to go 3-4 innings. Last year, he was pretty much 3 innings was like the absolute max for him, but I think he looks a lot better this year. I think he can go a little bit deeper into games, hoping at very least much deeper than he did last year. But some of the other guys in the rotation, Taylor Hearn, Dane Dunning, those two, are they going to be part of this rotation in 2023? I feel pretty confident in saying yes, but the question is where in this rotation? Because there are some other guys that are really knocking on the door. Brock Burke looked amazing in spring training, absolutely amazing. He's hitting 97, which he didn't do before. I was really, really high on him. A shoulder injury sidelined him back in 2020. And then last year, he just looked really rough. Like you feel bad giving up on a guy who had shoulder surgery after 1 year, but last year was just awful for him. And this year he looks like a completely different guy. He looks like a better version of the guy who I saw absolutely dominate in Double A, and I felt very confident could be a number 3 starter in the big leagues. He's throwing absolute gas, but the Rangers have him in a multi-inning pen role, and he's absolutely dominating there. They might leave him there, but he's got the potential to start and to challenge some of these guys. I thought his potential might be a little bit higher than Taylor Hearn. Taylor Hearn's stuff is a little nastier than his was. It might be about equally as nasty, and Hearn is trusting his defense and relying a little bit more on not having to strike every single hitter out, which is nice. That's kind of how you have to be as a major leaguer. You got 9-8 guys behind you, well, I guess 7 of them technically behind you, and 1 at the dish that are pretty dang good at catching baseballs, so you can trust your stuff. Just get some ground balls and get some fly balls that find the glove of the outfielders. It's not the worst thing in the world. So how high of a starter can he be in a rotation? Can he be a number 3 starter? Where is Dane Dunning when he's being let go and can just absolutely let it rip and throw 100 pitches in the game? I'm not exactly sure. I think 3 or 4, maybe more likely a 4 in a starting rotation, but you need several of those guys. You need some depth. There's Cole Wynn, who is on his way. What time will he make the major leagues? How well will he do when he makes the major leagues, and is it going to be this year? Also, AJ Lexi knocking on the door. I think he needs to get some reps in AAA. He's still fairly young. He did all right in his first major league stint last year, but I think he could definitely use some more AAA seasoning because his stuff is nasty and he looked really good, but I think that he needs to have some more AAA seasoning like Cole Wynn. I think both of those guys are going to be eventually starters in a rotation. Is it the Rangers rotation? I think so, especially for Cole Wynn. Rangers are really high on him, and I think he could definitely be a number 3. Maybe if things break really right, he could. If everything broke really right, I think he could be a number 2 because he's just so good at knowing how to pitch. His curveball, I think, is a plus. I think his fastball could be plus. If one of those two between the slider and the changeup, he really liked the changeup last year, and he developed it into, I think, at least a major league average pitch. I think the slider as well is average. If those could be, if you could put a 55 grade or a plus grade on either of those two pitches, and he has 3 plus pitches, that is what it takes to be a number 2 starter. You really need 3 of those pitches that are plus, if not one of them being double plus, that is really what helps that. Then he could be a kind of frontline-ish starter But at the very worst, I think he's going to be pretty much a number three. That is a very, very solid outcome for him, for a guy who is just still just 21 years old and already looking at a big league debut before he turns 22, which is really, really nice to see. Now, my final, fifth and final burning question might be the burningest question of all. It might not be, but it might be. Is Adolis Garcia for real, or was last year a fluke? This guy was might be the hardest to predict what the heck he's going to do in 2022 in all of Major League Baseball. I feel very confident in saying he's the hardest to predict what he's going to do on the Rangers, if not the entire AL West, if not the American League, if not all of baseball. Last year was amazing, him coming onto the scene and making an all-star appearance, a very well-deserved all-star appearance before absolutely falling off a daggum cliff with his bat in the second half. There was not any lineup protection for him once Joey Gallo was gone. You had a little bit from Nathaniel Lowe, but the rest of this lineup was... is my official rating for the final 2 months of offense from the Texas Rangers. Andy Avanias looked solid for a little bit, but he also missed quite a bit of time in those final months outside of him looking solid. He had a 4-win season last year, 3.8, if you want to go by Baseball Reference. But his defense is legit. He is a legit plus defender in center field. He is a gold glove caliber guy in right field. One of the strongest arms in all of baseball, charges on balls well, makes some really, really amazing jumps. It's just electric, huge clubhouse energy presence, provides absolute double plus raw power, if not verging on 80 grade. The guy is fun. He made last year exciting despite losing 100 games. And I think he could be a big league regular. He could be a multi-time All-Star. I mean, he only has to win one or be selected for one more All-Star appearance to be a multi-time All-Star, which is a big, big nod. This hitting staff headed by Tim Hyers and Donnie Ecker is going to make a big impact on him. But what is the rest of this outfield going to look like? There's not a whole lot of long-term options there at this point at the major league level if Adolis Garcia doesn't establish himself as a multi-time starter on a contending team and providing a whole lot of value and showing that power is something he can actually tap into and having a better approach at the plate. But some of the guys that are coming for this outfield, I think Leody Taveras, I'm hoping that he will be major league ready by the end of the season because the time is really starting to slip. He is still pretty young, and I think that a lot has been made about him not being ready. He is still very young, but he needs to show that he can hit not horrendously at the major league level by the end of this year, or it's going to be Adolis Garcia in center field, or it's going to be some of these prospects that are making a transition to get some outfield reps, I believe this year, Ezekiel Duran and Josh Smith, the two guys that were acquired in the Joey Gallo trade. Both those guys I'm liking a whole lot. And like I was saying earlier about a Corey Seager injury, I don't know if I mentioned this then, but I think Josh Smith might be the option to get some regular major league time because he almost broke camp with the Rangers. The Rangers are going to try and get him some reps in the outfield because long-term it seems like a more viable way to get his bat into the lineup because it is a major league starting, a first division major league starter caliber bat. Same with Duran. And if one of those guys can hold down a decent center field, that would be a huge plus, and they might edge out Leody as the Rangers center fielder of the future. But there's some real questions about who is going to be in the corner outfield / center field of this team next year. Are they going to try and make a run at bringing Joey Gallo back? And if so, who is holding down the other two spots? I want to see some Josh Smith in the major leagues sometime this year. I think we will. Will it be as a kind of bench guy, or is he going to just straight up earn that left field or center field spot from the Rangers? I don't know, but I am really excited to find out, and I think the Rangers are going to have to answer that question, and maybe we'll even see some Ezekiel Duran by the end of the year. I mean, he did just hit a home run off of a multi-time All-Star for the Brewers. Granted, it was spring training, but the guy looked legit. His bat looks legit. Both those guys I'm really, really excited about, even though I was not as high on them at the time of the Joey Gallo trade. But with some time now, I've seen there's some pretty solid starters. So those are my five questions the Rangers have to answer. They are burning. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. On tomorrow's show, we've got a roundtable, a little bit longer of an episode, but a really, really good one. With all of the AL West hosts, we're doing an AL West preview. Don't worry, I got plenty of shots in on the Astros, so tune in tomorrow. You won't want to miss me talking trash on the Astros and everybody else, and all of us talking trash on each other. Really a lot of fun. All of us, even Jason Burke, host of Locked On A's, talking trash about teams that how dare they try and win. It is a lot of fun on tomorrow's show. But now make your second listen today, Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully. He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, both past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.